Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 23 of Concussion Chats. My name is Taylor Ford. Concussion Chats is a podcast hosted by the McGill students for the Concussion Legacy Foundation with the help of Nick from Concussion Talk Podcast. We're dedicated to providing strength and hope to those suffering from concussions through sharing experiences. Today, we'll be doing a special feature of our Get to Know the Host, and we're going to get to know Aaron Guilfoyle. So I have Emily, who is also part of McGill Students for the Concussion Legacy Foundation, and Nick from Concussion Talk Podcast joining me. And Erin is also Nick's co-host for Concussion Talk, and she's the coordinator for the Newfoundland and Labrador Brain Injury Association. So Erin, tell us about what you do.
All right. So as you mentioned, and I'm sure as you have every other podcast, I'm the coordinators of programs and services for the Newfoundland Labrador Brain Injury Association. We're a community-based nonprofit here in St. John's, Newfoundland, Labrador. We provide education, support, programs, and services for brain injury survivors and their families. We started way back in 1984, and there's been movement along the way, dips and falls in the boards that we've had, but I'm here now since August, and I'm currently the only staff member, so I do a little bit of everything for the association. My main focus lately has just been kind of getting us to grow a bit. COVID-19 and starting a job within the pandemic has been very interesting, where a lot of the programs you have to do are all online, and a lot of the survivors we have are in long-term care. So we haven't been able to see them really, but hopefully this summer we're going to be expanding a lot more, a lot of things in the works to come through, and a lot of connections that I'm hoping to make going forward. We want to have a support group, expand to stroke services with March Dimes Canada. We're hoping to get a recreation group back on the go. And we all have educational presentations that we give throughout the year. Those could be on Zoom or in person. Summer barbecue and Christmas social that we do for our survivors. And we recently just got funding for a technology toolkit for seniors and people with disabilities that I'll be starting.
Nice.
So it's been a busy few weeks, but.
That's yeah. Awesome. All of that stuff sounds so great to do. So I guess, could you tell us, like, how did you, you know, get into this? What made you interested into the TBI world?
So when I graduated high school, I decided I did not want to stay in my hometown. I'm from New Brunswick, and I was like, nope, I want to go. And my parents pretty much said, from Fredericton, yeah. And I was just like, out. My parents were pretty much like, if you can find a cheaper university, you can go than the one down the street. So I was like, I will. And I found Memorial University, which is the cheapest university in all of Canada. So I came up to Newfoundland, never had been here before. Got into Memorial, started there. Originally, I wanted to be a pharmacist, actually. That was my first career goal. I realized how hard university chemistry was, and that quickly faded. But then I kind of discovered psychology. And once I got started within psychology, I found out that Munn had a neuroscience program. And then I was like, the brain, that's cool. Like, and people don't know so much about it. So I was like, that's so cool. And that's kind of where the passion is ignited. During my fourth year, I want to say, my grandmother actually suffered a stroke. And she has been in long-term care. She's been there for 4 years now. And she has aphasia. So she lost the ability to speak, but she understands communicating with her. But watching her go through that and the rehabilitation program within it and all the neuroscience like involved with it really, really ignited my passion to want to work with people as well versus just the academic side of it. So I continued with neuroscience at Munn, got my bachelor's science there. Then I looked into some programs because I really wanted to marry the academic aspect of what neuroscience is to how to help with the community. And I found a graduate certificate program at Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario. So packed up, moved away from Newfoundland, which I considered my new home after 5 years of living here, and went to Ontario for a year. I completed my brain disorders management graduate certificate there. And that program was really inspiring to the fact of how it let you work hands-on and with policy creation and all the information they kind of added on to the academic knowledge of neuroscience. So with that, pandemic hit, left Ontario because things were getting a little bit spicy there with the COVID cases. And I moved back home, was there for a bit, was doing home support work. So I was working with within a group home kind of setting with people with autism and large behavioral problems, basically, and they had had to be in this home. It was very tough work. All my respect to support workers, because that is a thankless job half the time. That was a very hands-on experience, and I was kind of like, this is wild. I don't know if I could do this for my whole life. I kind of started looking around for new jobs. I called around to a few places in Nova Scotia within the Maritimes. I really wanted to focus on staying in the Maritimes because I knew how much we lacked the resources for brain injury survivors. I lucked out when I called the Newfoundland Labrador Brain Injury Association, just kind of rang up, the president answered the phone, and I was just like, are you guys hiring? And of course she said, no, it's a pandemic, like, but send your resume. So I sent that to her along with like a cover letter kind of explaining what I've done, my passions and everything. About a month or so later, I guess she had reviewed it and talked to the board, and she called me back. She said, hey, do you want a job? And I was like, yeah, I do. So we did the interview. We went through everything. I told them more about the program and everything that I'd done, why I wanted to come back to Newfoundland and why my passion was specifically on the East Coast and how I wanted to build things here. That went really well, and that's pretty much how I landed back here.
Well, we're lucky to have you here, because that's, and there's some weird thing going on with the sound. I don't know what that is, but whatever. It'll just be there, just so you know, but anyway, I'll let you, I know Erin better than you guys, so, because she's my co-host.
No.
Yeah.
We are a co-host, I should say. And
you are a co-host.
We are each one.
Yes. So, well, thank you guys.
That's really cool. I didn't even know about that program, but that's really, really.
I was writing it down when you were talking about it.
Yeah. That was awesome. And, I've actually posted it in Memorial University, like psych groups and stuff. And there's been some students who have graduated this year. That are going to go into the program. And we're actually going to get a summer intern at NLVIA from the Mohawk program.
Yeah.
So. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what would you say? So you're working with more long-term TBI, right? You said long-term care. What does that look like? Because I feel like in my head, I'm like, you know, they don't do much. But then you're talking about the recreation group and all these different things. So what does that kind of look like?
Yeah, so ABLE is our recreation group for basically survivors who have had a severe brain injury. It's run by our president mainly. In its heyday, I guess, before the pandemic shut it down, it was once weekly. It was an outing activity every Wednesday, usually organized by the president, and we could have up to 30 participants come each week. They do activities like bowling, movie days, crafts, like anything to kind of just get them out of the space. It was almost, for some of the participants, it was their only outing that week. Like, there's such a lack of resources here that was pretty much the only time that they were able to get out safely and a social activity.
And accessibility.
Yeah, and accessibility for sure.
Yeah, no, I think so too. It's weird. All right, I'll shut up now.
No.
I'll come back eventually, but you know, no.
But yeah, no, long-term care is often where a lot of brain injury survivors end up here. They don't have the family support and accessible layout to stay at home. We don't have a lot of day programs that you could potentially get someone to so that you can go to your day job kind of thing. So for a lot of caregivers, it's like either I have to give up my entire career, my entire life right now to focus all on this. And it's a tough choice, but it's kind of what has to be made for a lot of people, which is unfortunate. And I really want to be able to expand our resources to more rehabilitation offerings to allow people, not necessarily their only choice, be long-term care.
Is it fine now? Okay. I think that that's I think that's definitely something that more people need to be working towards. Cause I mean, even like our speaker that we talked to yesterday, like he was telling us about how like the doctors told his family to just put him in a long-term care home. Like he's not going to be able to do anything anyways. And so I think it's really awesome that your goal and like your like the whole like organization guys like are trying to make it so like these survivors do get to do things and like aren't just doing nothing like kind of expected of them. Yeah, it's so do you have people, is it mostly like older people, are there like young people, what's like the age range like?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, really. It's mostly middle-aged adults to seniors within it. We don't have a lot of the student base set up or a lot of kids. I find a lot of the kids would be put through the hospital system with our children's hospital here versus having to go to a nonprofit. But it really drops off for anyone above the age of 18 that they're going to lose a lot of resources to them. University students, if they're here, then they're within the disability center at the university. But once you're out of that range, there's not a lot of places you can go. And if you don't have insurance either, you're only reliant on the hospital. So I find a lot of the support and people who reach out to us are those above about 25.
Okay. That
makes sense. Because, yeah, like, kids would have, yeah, that's true. What are some of the exciting things that you're wanting to work on and, like change and do in the next little bit? If you can, like, I don't know.
Yeah, my cat is screaming again, but my absolute dream for when I was going through university and college and getting into this field was to be able to open my very own brain injury clinic on the East Coast somewhere. And that was like the far away, beautiful goal where I would have like my own staff of like OTs, pharmacists, like everyone under one roof to have community health altogether. But that of course is a dream that maybe will come into fruition, but this is the perfect starting point of exploring the brain injury survivor field here and the community here. And having that build up and have that support and be able to get more people to speak out as well, because stigma is a big association with it. So we really want to draw as many people as we can from across the province, because Newfoundland is just the island. Labrador has even less resources. And if you're outside of the city of St. John's, you're pretty much rural and you're going to lack even more. So so far, the goal is to basically just try to make this a province-wide initiative where everyone can have fair access to services.
That's amazing. I have the same dream. I feel like a lot of us have this dream. We just need to come together and do it.
Yeah.
That has been like...
Emily and I have 2 years left in university, but let's go.
Yeah, that's been my dream for a minute. My next question is, I'm gonna throw a curveball. It's gonna be kind of difficult. But what's the biggest piece of advice you have for somebody in any sort of TBI recovery, stroke, you know, concussion, whatever?
Within recovery, I think like the best advice to give though is just always ask as many questions as you can possibly do, like to really try not to be afraid of like advocating for yourself, essentially. Like people who contact me, I will be on their side of advocating, but there's only so far I can go with doctors and everything. And then I would want to encourage them, coach them really about the questions they should be asking, the answers they should be waiting for, how to like remember those as well. So like writing things down and making sure that they're going to get the most out of any appointments they have and kind of what resources to look to. Because if you're not asking the questions and you're not bringing it up, sometimes you're going to miss out on some really good opportunities there. Yeah.
That's an awesome piece of advice.
Yeah. And that just comes from more so like the medical standpoint of it. I've never experienced a TBI myself, so I don't like to speak on like, oh, well, like things will get better, like thing, like that kind of advice, because it's like within my experience, I will not experience what you will. So I always try to encourage like support groups as well. Reach out to them, like talk to other survivors, because they're going to be able to relate on a much deeper level than I can.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, you talking to people in Newfoundland about like support groups and stuff, like you've sent a few people to us, and it's been great in that sense too. And like Zoom has been awesome for that. I've had a few people from Newfoundland and Labrador, and they've been like, oh, like, you know, like I went and like Aaron like suggested the support group. And so I think you're achieving your like your goal of like helping people and like spreading like the awareness and like stuff like that. But it's definitely, I can't imagine like starting it in the middle of pandemic.
I was talking just to my Tessa and Mike, but it's okay. And I think I was gonna say something about just that like we have a pretty good broadband system here, like Gwinnett, so like internet access is pretty good across the province. I believe now. I mean, I'm speaking from like St. John's, of course, which is a lot different than the rest of the province. But I mean, it's good to have that internet access across the province, which is, if we do have, as Aaron probably knows better how good it is, but that is, you know, it's good access to like websites and Zoom calls and Skype calls and whatever. And just access to information.
The one thing the pandemic has done is made us more connected as a global society, which is nice.
I have one thing I wanted to add before maybe.
The fun
maybe we let you say anything. Yeah, well, I was going to say, Aaron, if there's anything you would like to add before we jump into fun questions, maybe. But first thing, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. It's like you mentioned, like, talking to other TBI survivors, seeing their stories. I just want to remind everyone that, you know, sometimes, like, when we see, like, a book written or a famous person, you know, that's kind of been through this and we read their stories, it's really can sometimes be easy to invalidate ourselves. Sometimes it's really, that's why the support group is helpful. It's like just hearing your average Joe talk about what's going on can just sometimes feel a little bit more real and provide just a little bit more hope. But Aaron, is there anything else you would like to say that you haven't said?
Or maybe something like this. Because something has been.
You want to jump in quick?
No.
Oh.
Cat is going crazy.
just to clarify
everyone. In terms of my professional career, that pretty much has summed it up so far. Newfoundland Labrador Brain Injury Association is nlbia.ca or on Facebook, NL Brain Injury Association. So look us up, follow us, support us if you can. It's greatly appreciated.
We can also link it in our descriptions for this episode also.
Good. But enough of my boring, mundane work life. You can talk to
Emily. Do you have questions?
You have an incredible work life, Erin.
Yeah, we have a boring work life.
Okay. So you said you grew up in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
We covered that. Cool. Did you play any sports?
I think I've played like 5 or 6 different sports, but my thing is, like, I'll play a sport and get really average at it, and then I'm like, I'm done. Like, that's it. Like, I do not go the competitive route at all, and I know you guys are super competitive, so it's so funny to me whenever I hear you guys talk about it, because I'm just like, nah. Like,
I love that.
Hey, so I'm sure that saved you from lots of potential concussions, you know? It worked in your favor.
Yeah, but I did, like, volleyball, soccer, gymnastics. I did dance for a long time, like 14 years. Didn't go competitive, though, just wanted to dance. I did competitive swim. That was the only one. Yeah.
Nice. What was your stroke?
Front stroke, freestyle. Okay. Yep. Okay. I could do sprints. I can't do, like, long distance, though.
since we have some extra guests on the show, how many pets do you have? What's going on in Erin's house?
Currently, there is one cat, and his name is Sunny. I'm actually in the process of buying a house right now, which is exciting.
Really?
Yeah, my closing date is May 12th. So
we'll ask you later.
Soon there'll be a second cat.
Right?
Yay!
How does Sunny feel?
Yeah.
I've heard some different stories about cats, meeting other cats. Doesn't always go smoothly.
No, Sunny loves jealous. Other cats, just other cats don't love him.
Oh my god, that's the same as Bailey. Bailey and Sunny could be best friends because Bailey loves other cats, but everyone hates her. Like, what?
Yeah,
she's so nice, so sweet.
Sunny loves to jump on other cats and run around because he's still young, and then they're just like not into this. Like, stop. No. Yeah.
There you go. So, like, get a kitten and you'll be good. Yeah. And kittens are so cute. And
I've always loved animals. Like, growing up, I was always into the SPCA and volunteering there. My family, I'm the only child, so we always fostered kittens, and those were like my siblings. So. Always been a lover of cats, especially.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Sunny will be very happy with the extra space and the friend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Congrats.
Yeah, congrats. What are there any other exciting things? I know we're in the middle of a pandemic, but like any other exciting things going on?
House has taken up a big chunk of my time right now, and that's kind of where all my money is too, so I can't afford to do anything exciting. Overall though, like, I am in Newfoundland, so we're hoping for the Atlantic bubble to come up as well.
Yeah.
And with the Atlantic bubble, hopefully I'll be able to go home, see my parents back to New Brunswick, and travel around within that region. That's our next hope. But yeah, until everything's vaccinated, I don't see anything really big happening.
House is definitely like a huge, like, nothing can really top that, I feel like, right now. Like, there's that's a pretty big one. That's exciting. Congrats. Do you want to ask your music question?
Yeah, I got more. No, I'll come to the music in a second.
Laid back.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Oh, I don't know. I've always thought, like, I feel like the top three that always come up are, like, flying, reading minds, and invisibility. And those are, like, the ones that everyone contends to. But I don't know. I've always thought, like, with great power is, like, great responsibility. And I feel like I would just, like, get sick of the superpower and feel like such a burden. So I could never come up with a good answer. And I know that's a big cop-out, but, like, what would you guys choose? Have you ever thought of this?
I've thought about it, but I've never been able to choose one. Like, I'm kind of like you. Like I can't choose one. Like, me making decisions is just horrible. And so trying to choose a superpower.
One I did think of it was, like, teleportation. I thought that'd be cool because I didn't want to pay for flights.
That would be fun. True. Mm. You could go, like, anywhere. And, like, that would save so much money.
I was just thinking teleportation, but then I was like, I'd probably just go from, like, work to work to work and, like, not, like, actually, like, enjoy, like, the journey in between and decompress and stuff. So I was like, oh, maybe that's not the move. I don't want to read minds. That seems exhausting.
Yeah. Oh, my God. People, like, knowing what people actually think about me, awful.
Also, like, then life wouldn't be a mystery as much, you know? Mm.
Nick, what about you?
Oh.
I just haven't thought about it much, but you said those flying seems just cool. I mean, that would do great. I know it would take a while. Like, you know, the teleportation thing. You can, like, fly everywhere, because I would, like, fly to BC would take, that would take forever. But that's how high you go.
Maybe you fly super fast.
Or if you fly up high, like if you can, like, fly straight up and, like, to, like, past the ozone and then just be short, be a good quick sprint across the country. But so flying, I guess. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it much, but yeah, I would take flying.
I think flying would be fun. Yeah.
You do a lot of stuff too.
What's your least favorite food, Aaron?
My least favorite. Oh, I don't eat fish. Never liked fish. I was like, what don't I like? But I have never.
Yes, you moved to Newfoundland.
Voluntary. Yeah, I know.
It's whatever.
I think the smell is the thing that gets to me. And then, like, smell is, like, something crazy, like 80% of your eating or whatever, like, your taste. And I've never been able to get past that. Yeah.
What's your favorite?
My favorite food?
Yeah.
Poutine.
That's a good one.
What? And then maybe the music one. But what were you like in high school?
Oh, in high school.
Did you have, like, a punk phase or just a, like, nerdy band phase? Like, who were you?
No, I was definitely, like, a floater kid. Like, I would float between all the groups. My high school was massive. So there was about 3,000 people in my high school and 500 kids in my grad class. So, like, the cliques and, like, little areas weren't so pronounced just because there were so many people. Like, everyone, there was, like, certain kind of little cliques, but I mean, for the most part, I was friendly with most people from different areas, like the drama kids, you know, and, like, the sports football team kind of kids and all that. But yeah, no, I kind of just knew people all throughout the different areas. Pretty much have maintained the same.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. I was also a floater kid.
Yeah. It's the best way to be. You just, like, get friendly with everyone and, like, you don't get, like, into that little box.
Yeah. Exactly. So, what kind of music do you listen to? Who's your favorite artist?
It's good.
We went through this.
I need to hear it again.
I always have to do this because I always have to pull up my Spotify because every time someone asks me, I'm just like, what do I listen to?
Damn it. Well, something changed since Nick's.
No.
Just a new thought for this, so.
I would argue, though, it's a lot of, like, indie rock, classic rock, chill kind of tunes. In the past, like, before the pandemic started, I got to see the Black Keys in concert in Toronto when I was here, and I got to see the Lumineers as well. That was the last concert before pandemic, so who knows when the next one will be. A couple other bands, like Half Moon Run, I saw while there. Love Fleetwood Mac, like, throwing it back. Then, yeah, like, all along those lines kind of thing. But, I mean, I'll get down to anything, though. Like, I love live music as well. If we're out and there's someone playing on a band, I will sing along to whatever they're singing. Like, doesn't matter if it's country song I hate, like, I will be there and I will be on the dance floor. Like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to dance.
Yeah. As long as it has a beat and it isn't, like, super, I don't know, like, weird rap, just words, like, I can do it. Like, as long as there's a good beat.
Yeah. Okay, what's your favorite movie?
Oh, I don't think I have one. My favorite one for the longest... Like. Yeah, the favorite for the longest time was, like, the classic Titanic. Yeah. Longest time ever. That was always my favorite. I was like, I'll just go with that one. But I still love it. Like, it's the most classic love story. And then it also has, like, the big tragic of the Titanic. So it's, like, an action and love story in one. Anyway, I'll probably keep that as my top. It's still there.
Very good. Okay. I feel satisfied. I feel
the live band thing, yes, me.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I know her a lot better now.
Oh, yeah. If you could see any live band in their prime, like in their prime performance days, who would it be?
Probably Queen.
Ooh. Respect.
Yeah. I respect that. I think that would be an amazing show. Like, yeah, that performance itself would just be worth it. So, and like, they've got all the bangers, like every song you would just be there, like,
I know,
screaming it. So that would be it, because like, for me too, like, listening to music, like, I want to be like happy and experiencing and like feeling it, and like every one of their songs, like, especially if they're live and in their prime. Oh, it'd be incredible.
Amazing. All right, do you guys have any more questions? I'm satisfied. Huh? I'm very happy with that answer. I'm going to end it on a good note. Emily's very good now.
Emily's leaving now.
She's passed Emily's test.
Emily's leaving now.
Yeah. Emily's satisfied. She's out. No, I don't think I have any more questions. I feel like I know you a lot better. I didn't know that you, like, were from Fredericton. Like, my family lives in Armucto. Like, cool. Yeah, that's cool. You, like, moved around a decent amount too, and awesome. Cool. Yeah.
Hey, cool.
Thank you.
I know Aaron too well, so.
True. Yeah, you said you. Well, is there anything you know about Aaron that
I don't know her that well. I know her well enough to, like, not have any questions, but, no, I mean, I can't think.
No secrets.
I met her in, like, what, like, October or whatever. Like, just say you want to be in the podcast.
Wasn't it?
Yes, I said, do you want to be in the podcast? She's like, yes. So we met for coffee one afternoon. I was like, all right, well, let's do a podcast next on Friday or whatever. So I was like, all right, that was it.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
She's accommodating. Let's say that.
She's what?
Accommodating.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. All right. So thanks, Nick, for helping us do the podcast. And thanks, Aaron, for letting us ask you questions and for telling us more about you. And Emily, for your great music questions. You better not ask me any, like, music or movie questions when it's my turn. I'm not going
to. There's no fun. You get, like, lots of lead time. What's on the burn lag time, whatever. You know what the question will be. So you gotta mix up. Emily, you gotta
choose favorites of anything. I like favorite movies. Like, I can't watch
it's not
movies
it's not your
over
turn
and yet. Over. Oh, yeah. Okay. Whatever, Nick. All right. Anyways, okay. Thanks for, I guess, yeah, okay, I already did that. So our upcoming podcast can be found on concussiontalk.com, Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. You can find more information about our group on concussionmtl.com. Our group is free and open to everyone. We hold 4 meetings on Zoom, and all 4 are now going to be in English. Yeah, thanks for listening.
HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit headcheckhealth.com for more.
The music at the beginning of this podcast is by Ben Sound. www.bensound.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.